This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the car. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy in the car, just like you? Right now, times are really tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to make your drive around Melbourne fun. So tell your siblings, your workmates, heck, even wind down your window and tell someone else stuck in the traffic to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Tass. And do we have Adele Ferguson? Oh, no, we're just... Adele's getting on the phone right now, Tass.
You know, Adele... Oh, that's fantastic. Adele, I always love our chats with Adele, Macca.
Well, Adele's used to working from home, but I suspect there's been a bit more working at home than recently. Good morning, Adele. How are you?
Not too bad, thanks.
You haven't gone completely stir crazy yet?
I'm trying to cope with that. I think it's really hard for everybody, isn't it?
It is. So, look, thanks for your time this morning. There's a couple of subjects I wanted to talk to you about. The first is, you know, and Tass and I, we were talking about this offline. You know, we spoke to you a number of occasions in the past about the banks and the Royal Commission. Do you think... And, I mean, you know, you speak to the bank CEOs and other of their senior management team on a regular basis. They're working pretty hard, you know, in terms of businesses and individuals and also not-for-profits, I might add. Do you think they've redeemed themselves post-Royal Commission enough to actually people might think just slightly fonder about them, or am I imagining that?
I think... You know, you don't want to get ahead of yourself and say all is forgiven. But they, you know, we never doubted their financial stability, and you know, in this time, thank goodness we have a very strong financial sector in terms of the big banks. But there are still a few issues, but yeah, they are redeeming themselves. You know, in terms of individuals with. You know, the government came out and made certain askings of them, which they are coming forward with. But there are still a few issues. There's, the small businesses are still a bit of a problem. You know, research that came out yesterday, there was a survey of 207 business owners, and they're saying that because there isn't, each bank has a different way of looking at how to administer these loans, that 4 out of 5 of them are worried that they're not going to be able to get the loan in time to prevent them going under. You know, so this survey was saying that, you know, the various banks, some of them are playing hardball more than others. And it's tough. You know, so you've got the great glossy headlines that, you know, small businesses will be saved because they'll be getting these loans. But the problem was the government has left it to the banks to determine how to assess that.
And look, I think one of the challenges here, Adele, you know, I hear what you're saying. Look, my experience has been great. You know, I've taken advantage of the new reduced interest rate on a fixed loan, and that's happening. Equally, I've heard other stories of people that, you know, they're not, you know, they've applied to their bank. In some cases, they use a couple of banks in a business, and one of their banks is being really accommodating and the other isn't. And this is a bit like the situation with tenants and landlords, residential as opposed to commercial, where there's a bit more work being done. Oh, you know, we just leave it to you guys to work it all out.
That's right. The government really should have taken over the process and mandated the rules, not left it up to the banks, because, you know, you're right, some banks are being a lot more forgiving, knowing that they want to keep, you know, whereas others are being a little bit too conservative.
And you've seen... The government's provided $90 billion, or the Reserve Bank, $90 billion, which sounds a lot. Yeah. It's actually not a lot. in terms of the economic activity that the banks engage in, there's a lot more to do. So, you know, when you speak to the banks, what are they saying to you, Adele? Are they, you know, are they saying, look, we need more money, or we need more resource, or we need more time, or are they just think they're doing fine?
I think one of the big issues is about, you know, shareholders and dividends. You know, APRA has come out, followed, you know, what happened in New Zealand, where the banks have been asked to not pass on dividends. In Europe, it was the same. They were, the dividends and share buybacks were banned. And this is happening in Australia. So some of the banks are, you know, thinking that they've had enough powder in order to pay a reduced dividend. So I think that's going to be an issue, because you've got a lot of shareholders, a lot of retirees that depend on the dividend. But then on the other hand, you think, you know, surely APRA, the prudential regulator, wouldn't be making these sort of decrees unless they thought it was necessary.
Well, APRA don't have a great history in terms of their observation of the industry, to be honest. We've seen that, and you've reported on that. If we're relying on them for good advice, we're going to be greatly disappointed. Tess?
Yeah.
Adele, I was interested in your reflections of the sort of fiscal program that the federal government's actually put in place, not just through banking, but also through, say, the JobKeeper program and a couple of other programs. Are you able to... Do you have any sort of general reflections on whether they are hitting the right mark, whether the money's actually getting to where it should be getting to? Or, you know, because we have heard this morning from somebody from the Migrant Workers Centre that suggested that, in fact, up to 1.7 workers
million,
in this country...
Million.
1.7 million workers in this country will not have access to that program because they are on some sort of visa and therefore are missing out.
No, that's absolutely... It's a glaring, glaring problem that you can't get access. You can't get access to unemployment benefits, and you can't get access to JobKeeper. So what are these people going to do? Mm. You know, they're here as guests in this country. We can't just ignore them, because, you know, can you imagine the social dislocation that's going to happen? Can you imagine, you know, if you have no money, if you can't pay your rent, if you can't feed your family, where does that leave you?
Leaves you desperate.
It's a huge, huge problem that they have. It's just such... I can't believe that they have just ignored this, because it's a lot of people who...
Well, as I said to Matt Kunkel earlier on this morning, they actually are human beings. And we're not talking about someone's pet. You know, they're human beings who actually deserve the dignity and respect that everybody else in our community has.
That's exactly. And they've been paying tax. Yeah, and if they're students, they're paying uni fees. They are helping keep this economy ticking over. And my fear is, you know, previously I've written about a lot of foreign workers, vulnerable foreign workers who've been exploited by business. You know, if they're students, they could only work 20 hours a week, and so they were underpaid. And can you imagine in this climate how vulnerable they are now, the sort of exploitation that could potentially happen to them? It's shocking.
You know, we've seen in that, Adele, you know, that, you know, the very wage fraud and underpayment that you exposed... exposed. This is a lot of these people are in that group that were, you know, that were really were ripped off by employers. Yeah. And now we've got the situation where the government says, well, actually, you know, effectively you don't exist, we don't care. You know, the government has done nothing about wage fraud, to be honest.
No.
And now we've got a situation where, well, you can't earn a wage, but we're also not going to look after you. What, you know, why don't you just go home? Oh, well, what? We're going to give them canoes or something? I mean,
they're going to get home. You know, they can't get home. They can't afford to get home, even if they could.
Yeah, so we've got to look after them. Tess, sorry, Tess, you had another question.
No. I think we should move on to your next pet topic, Macca, before we run out of time.
Okay. Now, Adele, you've written a couple of pieces on this, and there's a lot of discussion about, you know, the airline industry. We see around the world, tens of billions of dollars are being pumped into the airlines to keep them going, on the basis that when the economy does regain some momentum, that airlines are really important not just in terms of freight, but in terms of passengers. What we've seen in Australia, and I said this earlier, that Alan Joyce is playing a game of Monopoly, but it's not the board game. He wants, I think, Virgin to disappear. And he's saying you can't lend money to Virgin. You can argue about how you would do that as a government, but you can't give money to Virgin without giving it to Qantas, because Virgin is 90% foreign-owned. Well, hey, guess what, Alan? Qantas is up to 49% foreign-owned. You haven't cancelled your dividend. You've put it off till September. 49% of that dividend is going to go overseas. So what's your take on this? I see there's a bit of dirty pool going on here.
I think it's been disgusting. You know, it's been a terrible dogfight that's gone on between the two airlines. And Virgin is, you know, as we've seen in the headlines, it's really, really struggling now. And that's for two reasons. One, there were, you know, a lot of speculation going around weeks ago that Virgin was, you know, on its last legs. And Paul Scurrer, the chief executive of Virgin, wrote to the ACCC, and in his letter he said, can you please investigate this, because I'm aware that Qantas has been backgrounding journalists that we're in trouble. And Qantas, of course, have denied it, but that really caused a lot of problems. There was a bit of a run on the airline, and then there was a leak from the government. The government, the Prime Minister's office, asked Virgin to lodge an official request for what they wanted. So they lodged a letter a couple of weekends ago saying we would request a loan of up to $1.4 billion. And that got leaked to one of the newspapers. So that then caused another, people who had Velocity points rang up wanting to convert them to Singapore Airlines, or to, you know, convert them into Dyson
vacuum cleaners.
Vacuum cleaners, etc. That's all cash coming out of Virgin. The other thing was people who'd got those letters saying, you booked a trip, you can't go on it, this is a credit, so that when we're back up and running, you can go, that they were getting abusive calls saying, we want our money back. So there's been a lot of additional problems that have added to this, besides the coronavirus, that's just put it into this terrible, terrible financial situation where money is just drying up. And, you know, you can argue it's 90% foreign-owned. You can argue whatever you want, but at the end of the day, you need to... good airlines. You need two thriving airlines to be able to compete. Otherwise, you'll end up with prices of, you know, $800 to $1,000 again if you've got a monopoly,
yep.
And you're going to end up with poor service. It's crazy.
And I think, Adele, you know, that, you know, the argument they're 90% foreign-owned, well, on current value, that's about, let's be generous, $500 million. Qantas is nearly half foreign-owned. That's nearly $2.5 billion, right?
That's right, and the government has actually encouraged foreign investment. A lot of our infrastructure has been 100% sold to foreign investors. So it's a really short-sighted argument. It will be to the detriment of this economy if we lose this airline. And anyone who thinks someone's going to jump in is crazy, because, you know, when ANSET went under, Virgin was already here. It was operating, and it had taken it 3 years to get to that point. And then it took it another number of years to get a lot of, you know, you don't just sort of get planes in a nanosecond. It will take years for someone to be competing with Qantas, and we don't have that time.
Don't forget, it wasn't that long ago that Qantas had their hand out for a government loan.
That's right, when they grounded the plane to break the unions. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Adele, is there an argument that any investment should also result in some form, in any of the airlines, should result in some form of equity as well?
They're looking at two things. They're not just looking for a handout. They're calling the government loan, and that's what it's not a bailout, it's a loan, a bridging loan, while they try and also recapitalise the airline, which would involve the existing shareholders if they don't step up and take, you know, take up an equity or, you know, a restructure, they will be diluted.
Yeah.
But you've got two things going on, and they're looking at doing a very big cost-cutting exercise to trim down Virgin so that it can survive. And then they'd have this bridging loan, which would be, if they can't repay their debt, it will convert to equity. So the government would have a shareholding, and when the time was right, they could then sell it and, you know, hopefully make a profit.
And there's a precedent for that. The US government did it with the car makers, and if my memory serves me right, they made a couple of billion out of Fiat Chrysler or Chrysler and General Motors. So, I mean, there's precedent there.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I think, Adele, I look forward, you know, to the new game of Monopoly that's only got one airline on the board.
Oh, it would just be terrible because, you know, we rely so much on tourism. You know, it's our fourth biggest export.
Yeah.
You know, it employs more than 600,000 workers. And we need to at least, you know, and Rex is another one. We need Rex.
Yes.
Rex is, you know, largely owned by Singapore. What do you do there? Have no, it's just crazy the arguments that are going on about not supporting winners and losers. The government should be looking at certain industries that are essential for us to bounce back, and travel and tourism is one of the key.
I agree.
Adele, we always love chatting with you, but we're out of time.
Yeah.
Dare I say that travel after this is all over will be very, very different to what it is now. This sort of free-for-all approach, I think, has to change. I mean, certainly for the sake of the environment, but more importantly, I think people will start to look at this very differently.
Very differently.
Anyway, yes, thank you very much for your time again, Adele. We always love chatting with
you.
So we look forward to having you back on board again. For more of your analysis.
And hopefully a couple of weeks, Adele, because you are one of the sources of real news. We don't do fake news on here, so we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, love to.
Thanks, Adele.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.